The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This was a pretty normal night for me. I was off work for the weekend and was planning on doing absolutely nothing productive for my 2 days off. I had some snacks and drinks set up on the table by my couch, and I was watching some silly movie to pass the time. It was storming outside, and it was actually a lot worse than it usually was around here. The lightning was really loud, like it was touching ground less than a mile away. I usually find comfort in rainy weather, but this was a bit much, even for my taste. What definitely wasn't comforting was when I heard something hit my front door. It was only a single thud, which made me think the wind had blown something into it. I got up and checked outside, opening the door and getting peppered by the rain and wind. Nothing was out there, though, that could have bumped into my door. I was actually so confused that I even stepped further outside to look around for anything near my porch. Not getting any answers, and only getting drenched by the rain, I went back inside. Whatever it was, it seemed like it was gone. My shirt was completely soaked through, so before doing anything else, I went right upstairs and threw on a clean shirt and dried myself off with a towel. While I was up there, I heard it again. A loud thud slam into the front door. It made me jump and mumble under my breath as I was genuinely shook by it. I waited for any more sounds as I regained my cool, then moved over to the stairs and looked over the railing at the front door. My eyes widened. The door was open, rain splashing inside and everything. I quickly ran over and shut it as best I could, but the handle was all messed up. I still had no idea what happened. Honestly, I thought there was a tornado or something. Of course, I quickly realized that this was far more horrifying than I thought. The puddle that formed inside the doorway had several muddy shoe prints smeared into it and going across the floor. With the door loosely sitting in the frame, I left it and started to follow the path of mud and water through the hallway. I don't know why, but for some reason I felt like I was trapped in there with whoever was inside. I know now that I should have just run away immediately. But in the moment, I think the fear and adrenaline had me acting out of character. When I turned around the corner, which led to the family room, a pair of old, soaked boots were scattered on the floor, and the shoe prints I was following ended. I looked up. The lights were off in this room, and it only had a small couch and a sofa chair, which I knew they had to be hiding behind one of them. It was only then, as I stared into the pitch black room, standing only a few feet away from an unknown person, that I realized I needed to get out of there ASAP. I quickly got my phone from the couch in the living room and ran outside into the storm, then found a tree to stand under as I called 911. It took several minutes, but eventually they came. Four officers went into my home, and a minute later they came out dragging a man through the rain and into their car. He looked crazy. I don't know how else to describe him. His hair was long, and his eyes were sunken in. What's even more disturbing was that after they locked him up in the car, I went back inside with an officer, and they said they found him hiding under the couch. So that whole time I was staring into the dark room, he was probably staring right back at me. Even worse, we found a sledgehammer behind the couch he was hiding under. He obviously used it to break in, but what else he was going to do with it is unknown. Hopefully he stays locked up for a long time. Otherwise, I'll probably be living paranoid for the rest of my life. I work for a tech company as a customer support agent on their 24/7 live chat service. Because of the nature of the job, I get to work from home. The downside, though, was that I was an overnight worker. Being in the comfort of my own home and having to pull an all-nighter was a recipe for disaster. This was a regular work night. I had my plugin open on my laptop that automatically receives new chats. I'd probably get 5 to 10 customers an hour, and each chat usually resolved within 2 minutes, so a lot of my job was just waiting. I kept a hot cup of coffee on my desk and had YouTube open on my other monitor. Around 2 a.m., maybe a little earlier, I was helping a customer figure out their refund when I heard something outside. It was a man seemingly calling out for someone to help them. Something about it sent chills through me as it sounded like they were right outside my house. Being in the middle of a chat though, I couldn't get up to check who it was right away. Also, I wasn't even sure if I wanted to. I had a bad feeling. I continued to help the customer, hearing this man calling out in the background for several minutes. Once I was done, I decided to just look out the window and see what was going on. Whoever it was, though, I knew they couldn't possibly need help that bad if they were standing in the same spot for multiple minutes. I went downstairs, and after hearing them call out again, I realized they were somewhere near the back of my house. I went up to the window and peeked through the blinds. My backyard was fenced in, but standing right in the middle was some guy. He yelled again, but his body didn't move. It looked unnatural as he was standing there, looking as if nothing was wrong. It was really dark, but I could tell he was wearing a hoodie and dark jeans. I figured it was probably best to just leave this guy alone. He was probably drunk or some kind of druggie. I left the window and went back upstairs. Almost as soon as I left, though, the guy stopped yelling. It kinda creeped me out, like he somehow knew I was there, but I hoped that it just meant he was leaving. A minute later, I got another customer to help. I started typing in my message, and before I could finish, extremely loud knocking suddenly came from downstairs. I could tell from the hollow plastic sound that it came from the back door. I knew it had to be that guy, which now made me nervous. What could he possibly want? Clearly, whatever it was, he wasn't going to leave without it. I quickly finished typing, then picked up my phone and reported the guy to the police. Then I went back downstairs. I looked down the hallway, and immediately, I could see him standing at the back door. His face was pressed into it as he stared through the door right at me. He started hitting the door again, and I wasn't sure what else to do, so I kinda just stood there. After maybe 30 seconds, his face fell flat and he backed away. Then he walked through my backyard and climbed the fence. As I watched though, thinking this was all over, I could see his figure moving through the gaps in the fence panels. And that's when I noticed several more figures moving outside the fence. Police took my account of what happened, and I described the guy as best I could. I think it was a whole group plotting something, Maybe the one guy was just to get me to open the door, and the rest would come after. I really don't know. I just pray this was a random attempt, and not something they were specifically going after me for. If that's the case, then that might not be the last I see of them. I live in St. Louis, Missouri, right in the heart of the city. The high crime rate is no exaggeration, as there's new stories coming out every day about awful things. Living here, though, I'd actually never had anything happen to me up until this point, and never even seen anything happen personally. I always felt like whatever was going on was kind of outside of my life, so I tried to go about life as normal. I worked for both Uber Eats and DoorDash, usually on my bike since I was in the city. This day, I was doing mostly Uber Eats, and I'd started around dinner time. The weather wasn't great, cloudy, and raining off and on, but it's part of the job sometimes, as the money's not going to make itself. Around 11, I found myself pretty far from my usual location in the middle of the city. With the rain getting worse, I was thinking about just biking back to kind of reset my location closer to home, but an order popped up that was too hard to refuse. $30 for a delivery 2 miles away. For reference, I was on the edge of the city, where it merges into a more suburban area with small homes and large apartment buildings. It wasn't a nice area by any means, but it was nowhere I hadn't been before. I rode up to the restaurant and got the bag, then strapped it to my bike. As I was doing this, a car's headlights were lighting up the sidewalk I was on. It was parked a little ways down and had been there the whole time. I got on my bike and started heading out, and as I did, I saw the headlights move out and continue behind me. Just a coincidence, I assumed, but as I made a few turns and cycled into the neighborhood, that same car was still behind me. After a couple minutes, I made it to the apartment building that the delivery was for. I pulled up to the bike rack and swung my chain around it, and moments later, the car pulled into the parking lot. Now I was freaking out a little. Maybe it was still a coincidence, but I was still a bit on edge about them possibly stealing my bike. I grabbed the order and hurried inside, trying to drop it off quickly. I went up to the second floor and got to the room, then knocked on the door. It was a cash payment, which a lot of people do around here, but was super inconvenient right now. As I waited for them to answer, I looked down the hallway. It was dimly lit and really run down, paint peeling on the walls, missing ceiling tiles, and even some mold near some of the doors. It was also oddly quiet for such a large building. Quiet enough for me to hear a couple people coming up the steps. I knocked on the door again, but kept my eyes fixed on the end of the hallway. I could feel my heart rate rising, like my body knew something was wrong about this. Then two men showed up at the end of the hallway. They were walking toward me, making eye contact, like they were staring me down. The person in the room still didn't open up, but I didn't know what to do. I tried to leave and walk past the two men, but they blocked the whole corridor and pushed me back. Then the door swung open. Another man, clearly with these two, helped force me into their room, slamming and locking the door with me inside. I was screaming for my life at this point, with no idea what was going on. They threatened me and took me into the bedroom, which was completely empty of anything. They tossed me in and locked the door. I sat there in the middle of the small empty room and just felt hopeless and terrified. I could hear the three men talking, and they said something about getting both of us into a car. Both of us. I didn't know what that meant. Then there was screaming. Not from the men, though. It was from police officers, yelling for them to open the door. From what it sounded like, the men didn't put up any fight. I was helped out not too long after, which was when I figured out what both of us meant. There was another victim in one of the other rooms. I guess 10 minutes before I got there, they had done the exact same thing to a different delivery person. They ordered it, followed them, and kidnapped them. A neighbor had heard the commotion and called for help, which is why the cops arrived so quickly. As far as what was going to happen if nobody showed up, we can't say for certain. None of the men said a word about their intentions, so all the cops can do is assume based on any evidence they could find. Luckily, it seemed like this was their first attempt at something like this, so hopefully it'll be their last. I can't imagine what would have taken place if not for the neighbor saving us.
I never thought much of getting randomly paired with a college roommate. I figured we'd be friendly, share some laughs, and maybe argue over something small, but nothing out of the ordinary. But when I moved into the dorm, I was paired with a girl named Emily, and from the start, things felt off. Emily was quiet, not in a shy way, but in a way that made you wonder if she had something to hide. She didn't go out much, and when she did, she'd be back in no time. She kept to herself and barely spoke to me. I tried to be friendly, but she only gave short, one-word answers. Over time, I started to avoid her as much as possible. I felt bad about it, but it was just easier that way. One evening, I was studying in our room when Emily came in looking more upset than usual. She threw her bag on the bed and sat down heavily. I tried to ignore her, but she was pacing back and forth. "You okay?" I asked, though I didn't really expect an answer. "Yeah, just a lot on my mind," she said. Then she fell silent again. That night, as I was about to fall asleep, I heard Emily's bed creaking. I looked at the clock. It was past 2 a.m. I tried to ignore it, thinking she was just restless, but then I heard a soft, rhythmic thumping sound. It was irregular, like something heavy was being moved around. Curiosity got the better of me. I got up and peeked out of my bed. Emily's bed was moving slightly with each thump, and I saw her silhouette through the thin partition that separated our beds. She was sitting up, her head bent forward. I was too tired and scared to investigate further, so I just went back to bed. The next morning, Emily was already gone when I woke up. I didn't think much of it until the day after. I was sitting at my desk when I noticed something odd. The drawer of the nightstand next to Emily's bed was slightly open, and I could see a piece of paper sticking out. I pulled it out and found a list of names and dates written in Emily's handwriting. It didn't make sense at first, but then I realized they were names of students in our dorm, and the dates were all recent. I started to feel uneasy. I didn't know why Emily would have a list like this, and I didn't want to confront her about it. A few days later, the list was gone, and Emily acted like nothing had happened. As the days went on, Emily started acting even weirder than normal. I started noticing that Emily was always home, even when she said she'd be out. I'd come back from class, and her door would be closed, but I could hear her muffled noises from inside. It sounded like she was talking, or maybe arguing with someone, but I never saw anyone else come or go. One night, after several days of this strange behavior, I was coming back from a late study session. As I approached our room, I noticed the door was slightly ajar. I could hear Emily's voice, but this time it was clear. She was talking, loudly and angrily. Her door was cracked open, and I could see her in the room. She was standing by the window, her back to me. She was talking to herself, but the way she was moving, it was like she was addressing someone else. I couldn't make out what she was saying, but it sounded intense. I didn't want to intrude too much, so I quietly closed the door and went into the common area. The next morning, Emily was gone again. I took the opportunity to look around her side of the room. I felt a little guilty about snooping, but she was acting so weird lately that I wanted to see if I could get a clue as to what was going on. I didn't find much, just a few personal items and the empty drawer where the list had been. But there was something else. Underneath her bed, I found a small old-fashioned key. It didn't look like it belonged to any of the dorm rooms. I put it back where I found it and decided to stay away from her side of the room. Days went by, and Emily's behavior grew even more erratic. One evening, as I was studying late, I saw her from the corner of my eye, walking around the dorm with that strange, intense look on her face. She had a heavy bag with her, and she seemed to be looking for something or someone. I tried to avoid her, but she noticed me and gave me a cold stare before quickly disappearing down the hallway. Things reached a tipping point one night. I was awoken by a loud banging sound coming from Emily's side of the room. I hesitated, but decided to check it out. When I opened the door, the room was dark, and Emily was nowhere to be seen. Her bed was a mess, and the room looked like it had been ransacked. I went to the common area and saw Emily sitting alone, her head in her hands. She looked up when I approached and had tears in her eyes. "Are you all right?" I asked, trying to be supportive despite my own fear. She nodded but didn't say anything, so I decided not to press further. The next day, Emily was gone. Her things were packed up, and a note was left on her desk saying she was leaving for personal reasons and wouldn't be coming back. I never saw Emily again, and I later found out that she had transferred out of the college. I still don't know what was going on with her, but the whole experience left me shaken. I learned to be more careful about who I lived with and trust my instincts. Sometimes I wonder if I will ever know the real story behind Emily's strange behavior and that unsettling list of names. Everything about the girl just seemed very strange and mysterious. This happened several years ago. During this time, I really needed some extra money. I was still in school and didn't have a lot of time to work at my part-time job. So I went on Craigslist one time in particular and just browsed around to see what the jobs looked like. I'd only gone on Craigslist a few times before, but I had heard you could do odd jobs for money. I didn't even go on that night with full intentions of finding work. I was just there to kind of look around. However, not long into looking, I noticed this one job that seemed interesting. It was to help a guy move. He said that he was moving that weekend and needed somebody to help him out. The guy said he lived alone and would need to have somebody help him load up a moving vehicle and drive it to his new house. The drive was roughly 30 minutes, and the pay for the thing was really good. I think it was like $300. It said it would only take a few hours also, so I decided to contact the guy right then and there. And the next day, he responded saying that I could have the job. The guy's name was Rob. I was given his address and told to go there on the day at about 5 p.m. So when the time came, I drove to the address. It was a pretty typical house in what appeared to be an average residential neighborhood. Rob lived near the end of a cul-de-sac. There were two smaller moving trucks parked on the side of the street out front. I parked my car across the street and a little ways down. Then I texted Rob that I was there. He told me to come inside, and I entered his house to see pretty much everything packed up in boxes. We spent the next few hours loading up both of the moving trucks. It was a lot of work, and took us about 1 to 2 hours just to load up the trucks. When we were done with that, Rob gave me the keys to one of the trucks, and he told me to follow him. We both then left and headed to his new house. I had no idea where his new house was. I just knew that it was about 30 minutes away. Rob had told me that his car was already at his new place, and he would give me a ride back to my car when we were done. Overall, Rob seemed like a pretty average guy. We didn't really talk that much when moving. Mostly we had just been working. So I followed him, and we went to this area that I personally had never been to before, but it wasn't far from some places that I did know. It was a quiet and more rural area. I remember we were on this really quiet dirt road, with wild land and woods on both sides. Then, finally, he pulled into this really long driveway. There was a house, and it was a much larger property than his last place. We parked the trucks and then unloaded everything into his house. By the time we were finally done, it was like 9 o'clock at night. After being done, Rob started to act strange. We were clearly done, and I said that I should be getting back now. But Rob just sat down on one of the chairs in his house and told me to sit down and hang out. I figured he was just trying to be nice, so I did. But after like 30 minutes of us sitting there, occasionally talking and watching the TV that was on in the room, I really wanted to go. I said again that I needed to leave now. Rob just ignored it when I said it. So I stood up and I asked if he could give me a ride back to my car now. Rob then asked if I wanted him to pay me, and he claimed he forgot. I said yes. and then he got up and actually did pay me the $300. But then he went back and sat down. I sat back down, and Rob was starting to give me the creeps. He was clearly trying to ignore giving me a ride back. So I took out my phone, and I texted a friend who lived somewhat close to that area. Luckily, he was still up, and I asked him to come by and gave him the address. I didn't want to just leave Rob's place, because he lived on a quiet dirt road, and I wouldn't be able to walk anywhere. My friend said he could come and pick me up. Rob just sat there watching TV for the next 20 minutes or so. It was really awkward, to say the least. I really didn't know what was going on. Finally, I got a text from my friend saying that he was there, and he was parked out front on the side of the road. I stood up and I said to Rob that I had to go. Once more, Rob completely ignored it. Then I just started walking to the front of the house. When I walked away, Rob finally asked me what I was doing. I said I was leaving, and I told him bye. Rob then got up and began walking after me. I walked faster and made it to the front door, and as soon as I was out, sprinted down the driveway. I got to my friend in the car and went inside. We then left. I told my friend the crazy story as we drove off. But when we were still going through the quiet neighborhood roads, I noticed headlights behind us. When we turned, the car behind us did as well. I realized that this might be Rob. As we continued back towards where my car was at Rob's other house, he kept following us. At least, I thought it was him. I couldn't see inside of his car with it being nighttime, but I was sure that it was him. My friend decided to make a few random turns to test it out, and sure enough, the car behind us did the same thing. We realized that we should drive to a police station, and we did exactly that. When we did, the car followed us all the way there. However, it did not go into the parking lot, but turned away. We stayed there for a while. Then, finally, my friend drove me the rest of the way to my car. When we saw my car, though, there was another car parked right behind it. It was the same one that had been following us. It had to be Rob, and he was still inside of his vehicle. We didn't know what to do. My friend ended up calling the police. We were parked on the side of the road a little ways away. Rob's car was like right behind mine, so close that it was almost touching. We told the police the whole story. They sent out someone to the address, and we waited. Rob just stayed there in his car the whole time. We could kind of see him, not real good, but we could tell he was in the car. Finally, the police got there. They talked to Rob, and eventually, he went inside of his house. I was able to drive home, and my friend did as well. After that, I haven't seen or heard from Rob since. It was such a crazy experience. I'm really grateful to my friend for helping me out. I don't know what I would have done without him there.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.